Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You are now listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. Time to get embarrassed with us.
Made it to 2018, everybody.
We are here. Yeah.
Welcome to Lost and Rewound. My name is Alon.
And I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Allison.
We're bringing this to you every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn. Radio Free Brooklyn app for Android or iOS. And, right? That's what they call it?
Hitting your earwaves. I don't know what we're on. We're on platforms.
They call it iOS or iOS. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not well-versed in this stuff. Is it a computer?
Is it a computer or is it a phone? Is it a phone or a computer?
Do I still have to plug it into the wall? Am I still plugging it into the wall?
In a phone. Yeah.
Can I play solitaire on it?
Go to rfb.nyc/LAR. That's our profile page. You can listen to us there every week. And that's also where, if you scroll down to the bottom, you will see that is where you can sponsor our show and be a generous sponsor. For any amount of money.
Yeah, $5, $10, $15, $20.
I believe that the sponsorship has very incremental amounts, very specific. $1, $5, $10, and $20. However, if you want to contribute a little more than $20 because you are in the very generous after-holiday mood.
Yeah, you must be giving even when the time of giving is over.
This is true. Holidays.
Send us your savings.
All of it!
RFB. Again, you can do that at rfb.org/pledge.
We are your retirement.
rfb.nyc, right? Or radiofreebrooklyn.org.
Oh.
They're just going to fight about this for a while.
Guys, it's really simple. Just go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/pledge and pledge a dollar or whatever amount of money you feel comfortable doing so. And in this new year, we will have all of that to make our program and other programs on Radio Free Brooklyn flourish with flying colors. What did you guys do for your New Year's Eves? Before I talk about playing video games on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
I worked.
You worked the whole time?
Yeah, I worked the whole time. I was mopping when it hit midnight.
Did you?
No, it's great.
Were you like, Happy New Year? like Cinderella, like, dip, 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 dip,
dip, dip, dip, dip. I mean, basically, in the back of my brain, I'm thinking, I know I went to college. You know? Like every time I have to stuff the trash down further in the pizzeria I work in, just so I can fit more crust. I'm like, I paid $120,000. No. I don't mind working New Year's Eve, actually.
You've worked New Year's Eve before?
Yeah. And then I ate a weed breath mint strip and ate fried chicken and had two sour beers and passed out in bed with my cousin.
Oh, my God.
And it was glorious.
It was a glorious time.
After you got off work, you went back to your apartment and then just passed out?
No, I went and had a beer with the people I work with.
Okay.
And my cousin, and she brought me edibles from Seattle.
Nice.
And so we had a beer, and then all I wanted all day was fried chicken, actually, and we went to the bar, and my friend works at the bar across the street, and we're like saying Happy New Year, and I was like, where are these people? People were eating pieces of fried chicken. I was like, where did they get it? And he's like, oh, I bought a 20 piece. It's on the bar. So I just had a piece of fried chicken in the other hand. I was just like doing a little dance.
That's some good New Year celebration right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People hooking it up.
It was solid.
I was at
You were at Treehouse Mima with our friend Siobhan Fogarty.
Yes, with Siobhan Fogarty, former guest.
Okay.
And also on our showcase.
She was magnificent, as were all the other performers for that Footlight event. I hope to be able to get back there. I think that'd be really dope if we got a chance to do a second round of performances.
Absolutely.
Either with the same performers or different performers. But yeah, she rocked at that. She was awesome. And she was playing a show for this New Year's Eve, correct?
Yeah, so she was hosting a show. I was not performing on the show. I was the photographer. Yeah, I was hired to shoot it.
Hell yeah.
So it was one of my first straight up professional photography gigs.
If in case y'all are living under some kind of rocks for this new year, you may not be familiar with Slim Jim Jammer on Instagram. He's quite the photog, if you will.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Many a street art can be found on his Instagram page. And maybe a photo of me or two, and of our shows on Radio Free Brooklyn.
This is true.
Though Lost and Rewound is not on Instagram per se, although it could be, we certainly have good documentation with our Instagram photographer in residence.
Thank you, good sir. I only shoot certain things, you know? Certain. And at this point, I do like when people hand me money to tell me what to shoot. It's a nice deal. It's a good deal, you know? Hey, money's green, you know? You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't make any sense, but it makes dollars, you know what I'm saying?
What time did you get back into Brooklyn?
Oh, 6 a.m.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, because afterwards.
Because afterwards, that's all.
I was only shooting to midnight. And then at midnight, they were like, champagne toast, and then the show was over.
And then what did you do?
Then turned into a dance party.
Did you dance?
Oh, I danced.
Oh, Jimmy got down.
That's the problem, yeah, is if you turn on music at a loud volume, I can't not dance. I am like a dancing fiend.
Yeah.
Like, I go in, just like Dance-A-Thon-A-Lon. Like, this is one reason how we connect. And for those of you at home that don't know, that is one of Alon's many monikers.
Dance-A-Thon-A-Lon. Somehow.
Because, many a night we had dancing like up to like 4 a.m. at Union Hall and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was going in. It was really funny because Treehouse Mima, it's this super fancy bar that's in the bottom of a really luxury apartment building in Midtown Manhattan. It's got like oysters and all kinds of stuff. And it's this, to my mind, it's this new wave thing that they're bringing back in the old days of like these huge buildings having their own entertainment for these rich people. So these rich people could just kind of come downstairs and have entertainers there waiting for them, and they don't even need to go out. Everything
dance,
is
monkey,
self-contained.
Dance.
Absolutely. So I was just thinking about that because it's got a supermarket in it as well. On the back of the bar, there's a whole supermarket. And I did think that. I was like, yeah, you know, rich people,
they need
their token poor people to come in and perform for them. Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, that's how we thrived in the beginning.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know what?
I'm
down. It's cool. You know what? If I have what the rich people want to see, then that's the way I'm doing it right. I'm doing a good job.
Show me the money.
But what was so great about it is that we were dancing so much, and there's a huge window to the street that people kept seeing us walking from Times Square after they saw the ball drop, and they were like seeing us dancing, and they started all dancing in the street. Like people were like dancing at the window, and it kept happening all night. Like people going for like 15 minutes at a time. And at one point, I was so overheated from dancing inside. And I had like just a tank top on, and I ran out into the 10-degree weather, and I was dancing outside with the people on the other side of the window. All my friends were like, "What? How did he get out there?" And then they were like, the people outside were like, "You're gonna die." And I was like, "You have to come in with me. It's the only way I'll go back in is if you guys come in." And then they did, and they hung out for like an hour or two.
That cool. Sounds like a pretty epic New Year's. Mine was simply my wife and I had two of our friends over, and they stayed over. Mark brought over his Nintendo Switch, and we played Mario Kart.
Cool.
For a few hours. And then we repeated the next day with a few more Mario Kart laps, but then moved on to Sonic Mania. So we were playing some Sonic the Hedgehog as well. Mario Kart for the Switch was beautiful. I basically just zoned out for my New Year's Eve and did not go outside.
I know I've definitely had those
except to walk my dogs.
of falling into a video game hole, but I haven't played the Switch yet. Is it all everyone's saying it is?
Well, it's certainly a very ambidextrous machine because you could have it on the go and then you could have it on your TV. And that's pretty cool. It's multi-purpose.
Yeah, that's what someone was telling me, is that it's more so than like Game Boys back in the day. It's like you're carrying around the whole system. And it's not like it doesn't look crappy because it's in your hands. Like we've gotten past that.
Yep. And that's our New Year's Eves. Now, let's go to the years of past. So let's begin.
Let's do it.
Okay, 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 okay.
Guest on this week.
We don't have guests this
there's
week.
There's no
guest or no guest on.
Oh, yo.
No one has a guest on, but we have a guest on every week. Otherwise, we should have a guest on.
Or gas on.
Gas on? Gas off?
Gas on, gas off.
Look, it's real simple. When I was recording these clips of the Danziger Zone, I was in fifth or sixth grade, maybe some a little bit in seventh grade. But we, every now and again, when we do not have a guest, we go and take a little dive back into these recordings, of which Lost and Rewound was based on. So, let's listen to the first clip.
From our founder.
Listen to Greg.
For a little while.
What am I supposed to say?
Anything you want, Greg.
What are you eating?
First of all, I think this is a stupid idea to be talking in a recorder. Because, I mean, what are you doing it for? Is this like a radio show or something?
No, I mean, it's called the Danziger Zone because it's a zone of recordings by yours truly, Elon Danziger.
Yeah, and where did you get that hat that says Danziger Zone?
Oh, well, my mom got it. But for some guys, printed it.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, isn't
Brooke going to start his own thing? Brooke stuff?
Yeah. He thinks he's a copy of Elon Danziger.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for Brooks to do that.
I mean, it's good. Yeah, it is a good idea that he's doing it. But I mean, he's telling me that he's gonna be telling secrets of the Danziger Zone that are bad, which I object to. That's why.
I see.
You okay? It's Greg.
That last part actually there was
you've been bad.
Yeah. So the story behind that last part is just that when. At one point, Brooks was like, I don't want to be in the Danziger Zone anymore. I'm going to start Rock-O-Rama. And then he was like, I'm going to tell stories of the Danziger Zone that nobody knows, the secrets.
So behind the scenes of the Danziger Zone?
Yeah.
Dude, I would have loved the shady darkness.
Exactly.
The shadiness behind the Danziger
Zone. So basically, it was sort of gimmicky, like going within the ethos or the lore, I should say.
Dude, there's going to be like a whole Harvey Weinstein, like,
please no.
Uncovered thing of you like,
nope.
All right, I'm going to record you.
Why Harvey Weinstein?
Because
it was the first name that came to mind.
He was the dude where the Weinstein one is because, like, aside from Bill Cosby, which is the one that everyone's like, he's a generally terrible person that has been for like decades.
And he's never going to jail, right?
He might, but even if he does, he's so old.
No, he really should.
But like, he should, absolutely. I mean, it's the same thing with people were saying about Bernie Madoff. They're like, he's so old, you know, what's the point of putting him in prison? But it's like, yeah, you know. But anyway, I was going to say that the thing with Weinstein, like, I was just reading back all of, like, the allegations and such, and it was so many, I had to take a break and eat and come back and finish reading the allegations. And then the reason I was just thinking of it is because of, like, he was a media creator to a degree, and so was Elon. So I was trying
to,
you know, make a joke as if he was a weird, creepy kid that was doing awfully terrible things when he was, like, 9.
Oh, great.
But it wasn't. It's
Can
just,
Harvey go to jail? Is Harvey going to go to jail? No, probably not.
He's too powerful. Yeah, he's too rich.
I don't know what happened to Greg Mosian per se, but I thought I could have sworn that he at one point was doing rap.
Anytime I meet a kid named Greg, always seems like an adult that just hasn't gotten there yet.
Oh yeah,
isn't that weird?
There was a Greg I went to school with. I don't remember his last name.
Didn't it feel weird when you talked to him?
Yeah, he always felt like an adult. I felt weird talking to anybody.
Like, it's just like Greg is just like not a kid's name. It's just a name doesn't fit a kid.
Same with George.
Yes, but you can be Georgie when you're a kid or something like that.
Oh,
Greggy.
Never met a George.
Gregory?
What, Donnie?
Gregory could be a kid, though.
Gregory could be a kid, but not Greg.
But not Greg.
Is that like
Donnie.
Bill versus William?
Yeah, there's no kid named Bill.
I guess you're right. I don't know. I never met a kid named Bill.
Met a kid named Bob?
Yeah, Bob Connors. Well, technically speaking,
when did he start going by Bob?
Bobby.
Bobby.
Different. He went by Bobby.
Different, dude. Bobby's World. Great show. Right. Kid.
But now I know an adult that's named Bobby. People call him Bobby, and he's an adult. He's a
Bobby
man.
Moynihan.
Hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, Bob was, I think, Bobby up until like maybe high school or so. Whenever we're just
did he transition?
Calling him Bob, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. When I was coming of age, I transitioned to Jim to try to feel like more of an adult.
No.
And then I didn't like it, yeah.
What about Ron?
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 Ronald versus Ronald?
Yeah, but Ronald or Ron.
But like as a kid named Ron.
Multisyllabic versus one syllable. You saying that it sounds more youthful to have more than one syllable.
But not Jimmy, in every instance. Like Zach seems like a kid's name.
But not Zachary?
Zachary also seems like a kid's
name. But Margaret.
Versus Maggie or any other iteration that.
Of Margaret.
Right. Madge.
Elizabeth. Similarly, doesn't
Lizzie.
Seem.
Dude, there's like so many ways to break down Elizabeth, though. You got Libby, Liz, Beth.
Yeah, you're right. It just goes on and on.
It goes on. You can't do anything with Alon. You can't do shit. You
could be E3.
You could be
I'm going to name my kid Old.
E-double-N?
You're going to name Old. E-L-A-double-N.
No, you should name his kid. His name Old, but spell it A-U-L-D. Screw it, people. I pronounce that.
Old short for what? Olden?
Just old. No shorts.
Like Holden?
No, just
Holden
old.
Caulfield?
Yeah.
Just old. Old!
See, I feel like if I name my kid something, I want to name him something or her something that my accent doesn't come out when I say it.
Okay.
Because they just said Caulfield.
What about Pete?
Pete. Petey!
Pete versus Peter.
Pete. I don't like it.
Let's get to the clip for a minute. The clip that we were listening to, this guy, Greg, on my bus, who also went to Hebrew school with me, actually, but he rode my bus, and he never made any appearances on the Danziger Zone because I think he was likely too oblivious to why I would ever take a tape recorder onto a school bus. It just seems so silly and infantile and a waste of time and antisocial, right? So yeah. His whole thing was, as he said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? A very classic trope as no matter what, wherever I go in the travels, you're bringing a tape recorder with you on your person when you're going to school and kids are going to look at you like you're an alien.
I mean, he had a very adult perspective about it.
Yeah, it's true.
Honestly, even when he was talking, the way he was approaching it, he was being sort of analytical as to, at what point in the future are you going to use these? Because he knew as a child, you didn't have a platform to share it, let alone when you were a kid, it wasn't so easy to share things like that. You know, the internet wasn't what it is now.
AOL was
forethought, absolutely.
AOL was not something I would have ever imagined. Like, I'm trying to think of the first times that I was trying to listen to my favorite radio station playlist on AOL or maybe like Netscape or Internet Explorer.
Yeah, Netscape, jeez.
Like bringing it back to those days when you wanted to see about what, but even before podcasts per se, trying to find your terrestrial radio stations and like see if they had like a feed. And then you'd have to download Real Player in order to play the feed. And it would be such a bad connection. Like, if, for example, K-Rock, perfect example. I didn't get K-Rock in Woodstock. So if I wanted to listen to it online and not have to be in the city every time I listened to it, I could theoretically listen to it. The feed would be so bad anyway. So the whole idea of having a radio show or like being able to be heard by more than just the people who are there terrestrially able to listen to you, that technology didn't really advance until like the late 90s when you guys were coming up around the age that I'm in this particular clip. You know, I'm like, 11 in this clip. And I specifically dodged saying that it was not really a radio show, but it was, because that's the kind of what I was creating was no different in what I was trying to have people consume than what I would, but people would be likely looking for when they're online, looking for strangers on, you know, broadcasting something, right?
I mean, again, like to have a platform for it, if it was going to be anything, and it's not going to be a TV show, and it's going to be a movie, and it's going to be a book. What is it going to be?
Yeah.
You know, if it's not going
to
be.
It could still be a book.
Yeah.
That could turn into a TV show, which eventually becomes a movie. And then you can do a Hollywood E! True Story based on the behind the scenes of the Danziger.
Yeah. All right. So then, real question for you.
What?
In the biopic, which I assume is going to be it's going to be Alon's biopic.
Okay.
If it's going to be about Lost and Rewound in general.
Okay.
Who's going to play Alon?
Oh. Well,
let's use modern day actors. You know, let's not try to forecast.
He's not there yet, or we don't know who he is. We don't know who he is yet
because it's a little bit in the future. Or at that point, we actually have the science where Alon can go back in time for a couple hours each day to play himself,
true.
And then be there. Then we just record the actual biopic the other days so that he can talk about.
I'm going to be played by Andrew Garfield, I think.
Yeah?
He's just brown enough, yeah?
He's just... Well, we could prove that he could do a Queens accent. I'm sure he has to change it up a little bit for the Brooklyn accent.
He better. He better go back to school and learn a whole new accent. I don't want Queens voice over here, you know? Middle school makes a lot of sense to me because it's puberty, the school.
I hated middle school.
Well, that's the deal. It's only a couple of years, you know, just those few, because they're like the hardest. They're like the rawest. And that's like where you become who you're going to be. Like if you look at someone when they enter sixth grade and you look at them in eighth grade, they look like completely different people. Mm-hmm. It's sure. crazy.
Well, let's listen to this clip here from the lunchroom, the cafeteria. It's like, I can't remember, I believe I'm...
Auditorium?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, auditorium, cafeteria. These are terms that I have not had to use in forever. Cafeteria.
Lunchroom.
The lunchroom.
Cafeteria.
The cafeteria.
The calf, baby.
Let's hear it.
This is a music zone. You won't believe this. The fifth graders, you know, they'll be troublesome as they are. You won't believe what they did. You see, there's this stoplight that the Woodstock Student Council thought up. It's this thing that'll help the noise level in the cafeteria go down when it's green, it's okay. When it's yellow, you better be careful. Red, you're in trouble. Three times, no, you have to be quiet. That's right. But that was in fifth grade, and in this year, it got put up for the first time, and you won't believe it. This is weird. You see, they set it off 7 times to like disturb Dr. Briggs. Oh boy, they are getting such deep. This has been our episode. Bye for now.
Did you bleep yourself at the end of that?
I did. They're going to be in a bunch of, oh!
So you just went, whoop!
Somebody broke their arm.
Yeah, somebody's like,
somebody's arm came off.
Ow, my arm!
I heard that.
In the background. Oh, my arm!
Wait, what? I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that?
Really? No. She was also disemboweled.
Yeah.
What did she say?
We both heard it.
Ow, my arm! Ow!
Yeah.
There could have been some horseplay, probably.
No, I think somebody lost their lives on that episode.
And then, very, very softly, I heard, Alon, stop! No, I'm just kidding.
Really trying to fuck up your career, Alon.
When he was 8 years old, he had a tape recorder where he recorded people in
precarious situations.
Exactly, situations they wouldn't want remembered.
There's documentation of some kind of child assault going on.
My arm! When I was a kid, I used to grab arms.
Yeah. Was your arm ever grabbed and then you punched them in the face?
I definitely punched some people in the face. I don't know about arm grabbing.
All right.
So I grabbed a policeman's arm once. And he almost arrested me. Yeah.
He almost arrested you? How old were you?
I wanted to ask him the time. And he was walking away. And I went, oh, excuse me, officer. And I put my hand on his arm. And he goes, who do you think I am, a person?
No, he didn't say that.
He basically said something to the effect of, I'm not people. I'm cop. I'm a cop. That's what he's saying.
But how old were you? That's important.
This was like...
last year.
This was recent. It was recently.
This was this morning.
It was like a year or two ago. Yeah, it was a year or two ago. I had a beard. I looked shady. I don't know. He was like...
homeless. You looked
homeless. He like got really like... and like grabbed me.
What did your parents say?
I didn't tell them that. I didn't tell them that.
You've never told them that? Well,
because every time I tell my parents a story,
Jimmy's mother's
going
to listen to this and she'd be like, oh my God.
They freak out. My mother had started a whole charity drive in an altercation I had with the police, which I haven't talked about.
Really?
Yeah. Because I almost got blown away. And she was like, we need to put an end to stop and frisk. And she was out like on street corners. And
wow.
Yeah. And when I almost got blown away.
Almost got blown away? What do you mean?
I mean that I had three guns in my face at 4 a.m. coming back from Union Hall karaoke.
What?
Because I was walking home while brown. It was like, I think it was more the fact that I was like, it was late at night. And the way I was dressed was the way criminals dress.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because when they stopped me and put the guns in my face and then they looked at my face, they looked nervous.
Did they say anything before they stopped? Like, what did they say when they stopped you?
They said, don't move or we'll shoot.
Did you see them? Did they just pull up in a car? Or
they pulled up in a car super fast, yeah. They like just went, wham, they pulled up onto the sidewalk. And then three dudes busted out in plain clothes.
In plain clothes?
Oh, so they were undercover cops.
They were undercover police, yeah.
So recently there was this accident that happened right near my job. It was like I was working like a Saturday, so I was working like 14 hours. It was like mid shift. And the undercover cops were chasing a guy that had just stabbed somebody. Oof. He was in the car. The guy blew a red light. So then the cops blew a red light. They actually pummeled into pedestrians. The car that they were chasing got pegged by two other cars because he was going through a red light. So they just smashed in him. So the car got stuck. So then these undercover cops were opening pedestrians' doors with a gun without holding their badges up saying, get out of the car.
To try and get them out of the situation.
Yeah. Which is, you know,
were they commandeering their cars? What they're trying to do?
They were just trying to get them out of the situation because they had guns and the guy had a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the streets, but they were trying to get these pedestrians.
You witnessed this?
Half a block down, but I was serving pizza.
That's crazy.
It was undercover cops holding guns, trying to get pedestrians out of their cars. The pedestrians had no ideas that they were cops. That's, you know, to begin with.
That's horrifying.
I think it's
a harrowing experience.
I will say similarly, they didn't tell me they were police until a minute in.
Like, aren't they supposed to like open with that? Like, yes. I'm a cop.
Yes, this is the first thing they're supposed to say.
So you could technically sue. When did this happen?
Union Hall karaoke, right. So 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
Well, I want to tack onto that, and I wanted to ask, for real, how long ago did that incident with the holding the police officer's arm happen?
That one was pretty recently.
It was.
That was a year or two ago. Yeah.
So that happened after your incident with this?
Yes, this was after.
That's very significant, because you would think that after an incident like that, plain clothes or not, having that experience gives you the insight to just stay the fuck away from them. But you did not.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is as I was going to ask him for the time, I remember thinking in my head, this is probably not a good idea.
Right.
Like, this is like, there's a lot of people on the street.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
I was in the Oculus recently, and I did not know where I was. And I just also was very impressed with all of the new designs.
I love the Oculus, man. I think it's great.
All I did was simply find a soldier who was standing there. And he had the big, you know, artillery rifle. And I just, honestly, I just wanted to ask him, like, wow, how long has this all been here for? He's like, I don't know. And he just, like, continued. Like, he was like a couple, like, you know, 6 weeks or something. He was just, like, very sort of, I'm doing my job here, dude.
Yeah,
get away from me.
You know what's interesting? I had a situation.
So I just wanted to talk to them.
I had a situation similar to that where I was being a chatty Cathy, but, like, I don't know that I was wrong for doing it. Like, and again, he just could have just said, oh, I have to, like, watch. I'm a guard, and I can't, like, talk about stuff. But I saw one of the soldiers at Penn Station once, and I went up to him, and I said, because they're wearing their uniform, but it's, like, camouflage, but it's desert camouflage, because we're fighting in the Middle East, right? Mm-hmm. And I went, and I was just like, okay, I get that you, like, are a soldier, and, you know, this is where we're fighting in a war, but you're stationed here in New York. So, like, why are you wearing desert camouflage? Because, like, I can see you really well. Like, it's not, you're not blending in at all. And I was like, is it so that I can see you very well and that people know there's a military presence? So it was like, you stick out like a sore thumb because you're dressed like the desert and we're in a city. I said, or is it just, and I said, because there's a type of camouflage called splitter, and splitter camo is what you use when you're in a city. And it's like gray and light tones of gray and stuff, looks like buildings. And I was like, because that would just make a lot more sense if you're trying to like blend in. And he was just like, stop talking to me.
Getting back to the clip, talking about, you know, order and, you know, keeping the peace, etc., that was definitely on display in at least the account of this cafetorium, as I called it, was a situation in which, in order to keep noise level down, they had a stoplight of which if you went red, then everybody was in big trouble and, like, you had to be quiet for a certain period of time.
What? Really?
That was how it happened. In order to suppress noise, they implemented this to make sure that everybody knew when they were being too loud. Because you couldn't be too loud when you were eating lunch, evidently. Like, that was not acceptable. When you were on in recess, it was one thing. When you're outside, be as loud as you want, I guess, right?
So put lunchtime, this light on for you to simmer down now.
Simmer down now, stop light.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot, like, think of it, a lot of kids in one room. It must be, like, super shrill.
Yeah. I mean, depending upon, they got tiles on the walls, too. Could it be even louder?
Sure.
Those kind of cafeterias, I feel like, don't have great acoustics. I feel like they're loud.
I mean, they had events there.
Yeah, if it was the cafetorium, right? When you had a regular, I don't know if you ever had like a just a normal auditorium in school, like where it wasn't also serving delicious meals.
No. Not at this was all there was, this tiny little school.
I mean, my auditorium was pretty small when I went to school, and they actually like put classrooms into the back of it. But you could have, I mean, I did the school plays and plenty of events and stuff that were in there, and people would be like screaming in that thing, and you walk right out of the, and you can't hear it outside. It wasn't like auditoriums, they swallow the noise.
Any favorite lunch meals of the week?
Yeah, I used to like the crappy pizza.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I used to eat that crappy pizza.
That was every Friday for me. I couldn't stand that
shit. I didn't like the long one. What do you call it? The one that was like on a baguette.
Oh.
I liked the round one with the pepperonis.
I would eat that. I had, they sold chocolate chip cookies. It was like one for like something or like three for $3. I don't forget. And those were amazing. But I used to be able to leave for lunch. I'd leave with my friends, and I'd get sugar-free, fat-free froyo.
Wait a second.
In middle school, in Manhattan, I was allowed to go out for lunch, too.
Or we'd go to get subs at, oh, my God, what was the deli? Oh, God, it was the best. I miss it. I miss a good Italian hoagie.
Yeah, when I was in middle school, I was in the Lower East Side. So there was just like, yeah, just got mad good pizza and all kinds of great places.
What was the most embarrassing thing that happened to you guys during lunch period?
I got my period.
During lunch?
Yeah, during lunch, seventh grade, though, and it went into the, very much like Big Mouth, and it went to just the inner, my inner thigh jeans.
All right.
But you couldn't see it when I walked, so I went to my nurse, and I was like, hey, I got my period, and she made me walk up and down the hallway, and she said, you can't see it, and I was like, call my mom.
That's crazy. Wow. You can't see it? That's, jeez.
You're going to make me sit in my own blood for the rest of school?
That's insane.
I am 13.
That's insane.
Bitch.
I don't think I had any embarrassing cafeteria moments, but I had embarrassing school moments and stuff like that.
One of the most embarrassing moments for me before I left the public school sector was snorting chocolate milk up my nose, through my nose, I think.
Like out of your nose?
Yeah. Laughing too hard.
Oh,
because
yeah. I remember that.
When you would laugh so hard, your milk would come out of your nose. That definitely happened to me, but with chocolate milk. And it was a point that every kid would make, especially in one I remember from Danziger's own clip of yore, where like they were trying to say it. And I was like saying, no, don't say it. Like they were trying to say it in the recorder. And I was doing everything in my power to make sure that it wasn't said.
Did you ever have soda come out your nose like that?
I don't think so.
It burns, homie.
I'm sure it does. For sure.
It was rough situation. But you notice how like when you are now no longer a child, like you learn to separate laughter from drinking a beverage. Like I've had stuff come out of my nose like since I was a little kid, but that definitely happened a couple of times.
Oh, it still happens.
Have actual.
That is not surprising to me at all.
I know.
Like, yeah, stuff comes out of my nose all the time.
Though, like we've actually had a spit take happen. Like a,
yeah, I mean, I just spit up my food the other day because I laughed so hard that a noodle came out. Not my nose.
Can you do a spit take, like a real one?
I don't know, probably.
When I was in high school, we taught ourselves, or either yeah, high school, we taught ourselves to do it. And we didn't teach ourselves to do it because of goofy comedies. We did it because of wrestling. So maybe I was younger.
Yeah.
Because all the guys would go, and like spray, you know, they did like that spritz when they'd walk out on stage and stuff. Must have been middle school then.
Yeah. I've done that onto like strangers accidentally because I've laughed so hard. And it's not good.
See, I'm not a like stuff is coming out of my face laughing guy. But I am a fall out of my seat laughing guy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I definitely cannot sit in a single spot laughing. Like for me, when I was in school growing up, I was the kind of kid that wouldn't sit in the desk correctly. Like I would sit splayed out, like my leg would be over the side of the thing.
Oh, I leaned
Are you a man spreader?
Oh yeah.
I leaned my seat back all the time when I was in class.
Yeah, the same way. But when I manspread, what I do is I manspread serious. But the moment the door opens and I look, I'll just make eye contact with the person and then look at the seat and look at them and look at my manspreadness and then like close my legs and show them that they close too. Like you can sit here. Like I just need to be comfortable because of the situation happening. Like, oh, I just need God. There's heat. And moisture.
No, we're going to take a quick break and try and recover from that visual. And when we come back, we have more of my own crazy clips. This is Lost and Rewound.
Radio Free Brooklyn. Ooh.
I would record the television, as has been evidenced before on this show. I was want for flipping the channels every now and again to see what was on and maybe record what funny things were being said. At the time, I'm guessing it was probably 1994. Hmm. So let's hear what 1994 television was like.
Go back to the Woo days. Woo, dang.
See what's on TV.
They
want
to ensure that our men and women
in
uniform.
It's Bill.
That their families.
It's the president.
Getting the kind of support they need and deserve.
Among the points in the president's plan to shore.
Let's see how Cuomo feels.
Pataki was off for a round of meetings with Republican legislators and budget experts. In the marble hallway, outside Cuomo's office, hang the portraits of past governors, Harry, Rockefeller, Franklin Roosevelt. Soon, Mario Cuomo's portrait will join them. At
yes!
New Year's Eve.
Elect but cut taxes over the election, and their discussion might mean bad news for New Yorkers. State layoffs. The two talked today at the Capitol in Albany, and among other issues, they talked about the state's $4 billion budget gap and what might have to be done. Pataki admits layoffs are a possibility, and Cuomo says he's a few weeks.
Oh, boxing.
Boxing?
My dad was a boxer. Well, he wasn't very good. You know, he fought under the name Kid Hit Me and I'll Fall.
Oh, boy. Oh, on that note, it's time to check in with Jesse in traffic. Jess?
It's rush hour. You're stuck.
Don't even mention the word crash. Sure.
Rush.
So bye-bye.
What was the last TV show you put on?
Oh, you're not going to be very happy.
Is it SNL?
Dude, you laughed so heartily at a clip from Full House.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love Full House. I used to love Full House.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my show. Dude, Bob Saget, I don't know how he...
Oh, he's
Did you
great.
Ever watch the documentary on how he got that gig?
I haven't, but he's the dirtiest comic in the world.
He's brilliant.
Well, first of all, Jimmy, what were you going to say about Bob Saget?
Oh, I was just going to say that the fact that he's so dad-like. Like, he was the quintessential... dad
and
in that generation.
Was that emulated at all in this documentary? When did this come out?
Oh, this came out. It was a Lifetime documentary. It was terrible. I tried watching it. It was really bad. My old roommate and I, Derek, he actually watched the whole thing. I came home and he's like, he was really stoned. But basically, Bob Saget came in to pitch another show and the network was like, no. And then all of a sudden he was like, how about a show about a single dad?
Great, let's do it. Yeah, yeah. Pick it up right now. Pick it up right now. Perfect.
And then like they just like pitched like a couple more things, and then
it was a really good idea for a show.
And the twin girls, actually, the Olsen twins, their mom was with the twins and came to actually pick up another girl that was actually auditioning for that part, like to meet the mom. And then, like, one of the casting directors came out and saw the Olsen twins and said, oh, are they here to audition? And the mom said no. And they said, well, have them audition anyway. And then they got the part.
Wow.
A couple of really weird things about Full House.
And they got the spinoff now. It's like, oh, boy.
It's no surprise that you're hearing me sift through one political channel to the next, and then I find myself on Full House. I'm like, ah, now we're talking.
Oh, yeah. I know you were excited even in the clip. You're happy about it. One thing I think is really interesting is that in the clip, you hear about Mario Cuomo.
It was awesome.
And all of like the terrible things he could possibly do to our city. And then I'm like, oh, well, your son is doing a lot of terrible things to the state.
Well, did you hear this one? He just goes, yeah!
Yeah! That's what
I know. It's just like, because I remember back in the day that people didn't really dislike Cuomo like that. Like, he was like kind of, and people were sort of ambivalent about it.
Yeah, I really didn't have a Metro memory. My political memory started at Pataki, actually.
Cuomo was the mayor when I was a kid, and I remember that my dad talked about him, and well, I remember that.
Cuomo was never the mayor of New York City. He was the governor of New York State.
No, Pataki was the governor, wasn't he?
And then, he followed by Pataki.
Oh, so in that clip, they're talking about Mario Cuomo handing the reins over to Pataki?
Yeah.
This was likely, I'm guessing, I don't remember which tape I got this off of, but if my memory serves me from what it sounds like Pataki got elected, so this is somewhere between November and January, probably like December of 1994.
Maybe it was, was Ed Koch mayor when I was a kid then?
Mayor Ed Koch.
Might have been Koch.
Is definitely a thing.
And then they named a bridge after him now, too.
Oh. Yeah, but let's talk about that, man, for one second. When we talk about our bridges, do we say, oh, I'm going to go into the Cary Tunnel. Oh, I'm going to go onto the Koch Bridge. Oh, just go on the RFK to get to the
I was just thinking to the when they named it the RFK, I was like, no.
I actually do use that, but I'm much happier saying the Triborough.
I always say Triborough.
Oh, yeah.
I always say Triborough. Never say the RFK.
If they change the George Washington Bridge,
Alon's going to lose it.
No, I mean, they won't name.
They can't. It's George Washington. Yeah, they just legitimately will not change that.
Hamilton.
Yo. Hamilton?
But like what? They changed the, like they can change the Williamsburg Bridge. I think they had a petition to change the name to somebody's name. I don't know who exactly.
They could change the name of the Manhattan Bridge. Who would care?
I like the Manhattan Bridge name.
Why?
I don't know.
The Brooklyn Bridge is the Brooklyn Bridge. Like it is one of, if not the most famous bridges in the world. And the Manhattan Bridge is just that bridge over there.
It is not just that bridge over there. It is the bridge that connects. Okay, well, I mean, it's a part of the landscape.
Obviously, it's there. It's right over there. You can see part of the landscape.
I think the problem with renaming a bridge is then the bridges, do they know who they still are?
Right.
You know? Like, bridges how will the Manhattan Bridge will lose all of its identity?
I just don't know why people. I mean, you can name whatever bridge you want. You could change the name. Like, I think the Tappan Zee Bridge is the newest one in the scandal. There's a
scandal.
I don't remember the name of who they're hoping to name the Tappan Zee after, but all I know is that there's a lot of folks who are really angry that you would, God forbid, I think they're actually going to try to call it the Mario Cuomo Bridge, actually, now that I think about it.
Wow.
And Andrew Cuomo was like, no way are we not changing it to Mario Cuomo. That's my father. We got his
of course,
legacy.
He's going to say that.
And then like people are like, no, we got to keep it the Tappan Zee.
I always loved the name Tappan Zee Bridge, but I feel like that's the kind of thing that like a German guy would say when he's trying to gloat about his sexual conquests. I was Tappan Zee, girl.
I thought it was someone maybe trying to get some sleep.
I was Tappan Zee the bridge.
I was
all night long.
I was Tappan Zee. I'm sorry. That was just terrible. That was bad. I really had to think about it a lot. I was like, how am I going to make this joke work?
Yeah.
No.
So you grew up in New Jersey, Allison. So none of that really was relevant to you since.
Oh,
you
yeah, always. Because my dad works in Staten Island and we'd always go into New York. So.
But is your dad is a dentist, right?
Yeah, he is a dentist.
But his practice was always in Staten Island?
Mm-hmm. It's always been in Staten Island.
So I have a question then. If you were out in Staten, have you seen the dump?
Who's?
Not like Staten Island, the borough. I'm talking about the dump.
Yes, right.
The dump. I've never seen it. Is it cool?
Really?
It's the biggest trash pile in the world.
It is. Is it cool?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It was neat?
It was neat.
When you saw it, it was like, ah! Like trash necropolis or something. I don't know.
I think I just kind of stared at it for a while.
I got to go out and like make a trash pilgrimage one of these days. Go see it.
Trash pilgrimage.
Well, you can see it from space. It's over 40 stories tall.
Oof, it's crazy.
Yeah, I want to see this pile of trash. New York's trash.
Maybe I'll go. Maybe we should all go.
We should make a little trip to the trash pile. We should take a picture in front of it, and it should be the official banner for Lost and Rewound, us in front of the pile.
Well, we actually, for full disclosure, if it isn't already up on our site, it really should be. The change to our profile picture has to be the three of us with, you know, some kind of funny little...
You know,
whatever it is. It's going to be honestly, a picture of the three of us.
Honestly, a picture of us in front of that pile of trash wouldn't be so bad because you know what's in that pile of trash, I bet. Audio archives.
Oh, yes.
So that's like, I mean, people throw them in the trash, but we're in essence diving, mm-hmm. dumpster diving for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, this is actually
I'm using my brain. I'm using it.
The next
clip. Or losing it.
Next clip we have to listen to is more footage of ADD. In audio form. It's just more of me being a total wackadoodle kid. But the context for this before I begin is that I was really big into Spike Jones and the City Slickers during this time. We've talked about this before. Yes. Spike Jones was a band leader in the 40s who interpolated classical compositions from the Western world and used them with comedic effect, created like bells and whistles and horn honks and sound effects and very... Very, like, influential stuff to Dr. Demento and even Weird Al Yankovic. There is a song, really famous song, for those World War II buffs out there, called Der Führer's Face, that was released by Spike Jones, one of their biggest hits. And it was a song mocking Nazis by saying just, like, how silly they were. And I think the hook was, so we heil, right in the Führer's face.
Dude, any, like... songs making fun of Nazis are songs on my playlist.
That, and it was used, actually, I watched this cartoon. It was actually used throughout the entirety of the Donald Duck cartoon that was, I guess he was a Nazi soldier. And then like he woke up from a dream being like, that was the worst dream ever. I'm a patriot. Long, you know, God bless the USA and his Donald Duck voice.
I don't remember that. I do remember the one with Hitler in the plane and then the little devil guy sabotaging the plane. And then there was another one where I want to say Bugs Bunny and with Hitler too, and Bugs Bunny pulling pranks and Hitler.
No, that was Daffy Duck.
That was you're right. It was Daffy.
Daffy the Commando. Excellent, excellent, excellent cartoon. The Donald Duck one was not good in comparison to that one, in my opinion.
I just feel like, you know, Disney was too close to the Nazism. You know,
there was also that Disney cartoon about how to become a Nazi. You guys ever see that one?
No.
Dang.
Let's look it up.
All right.
Well, I mean, we all know about Mr. Qualt and his feelings on the matter.
Let's listen to this clip and then we'll have some more thoughts.
Schnitzelbug. I'm gonna find a good house off now.
Dude, that was nuts.
Yeah, dude.
I definitely had moments in my childhood like that too. And then I think to myself, and I think.
Glad you didn't record it.
Yeah, well, it's not that. It's just one of those things where when you grow up, I'm not going to say that I'm grown. I don't think I'm all grows up yet. But when you begin to grow, you don't realize how much you're going to change and how much you're going to look back on your past with utter disdain. Like you see old versions of you and you're like, yo, you're the shittiest. I hate you. You know, that's what's great about this program. So many of our guests, I feel like, will share that. They're like, yeah, you know, me right now is not so bad, but me back then, the worst.
I waited a while to play this one just because I didn't think it was ever going to be required that I would have to play me in my most ADD of all forms. That was like me in Super Saiyan ADD form.
Exactly, dude.
The first part is me not even singing the whole song. I was just tacking onto one part of the song. I think it's sort of making fun of the whole idea that Nazis think that they're Superman. Yasselati Superman. Super duper Superman. That's the line of the song. So I just like was doing that over and over again. And then the best part is that Sarah, my sister, just is totally annoyed by what I'm doing because we must be in the car. And so I stop it. And then I record it and keep going. And then somehow I just thought it was a good idea to just try doing like a whole band playing, pretending to do drums. And now the drums.
Oh no, what'd she do then?
Like you heard, like I'm like trying to like play a band with my mouth, and it's wonderful.
And it's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
And it's wonderful.
And it's
for everyone.
And she was, you could hear her, she was like, we get the point.
Oh man, and definitely reminded me of the producers.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Springtime.
Oh my for God.
Hitler and Germany. Winter for Poland and France.
A blast from the past for those who remember their TV commercials.
Like that Brendan Fraser movie?
I suppose.
I'm gonna sing you a song with my pants down. Oh, I'm gonna stop you today. No, not that song. No, how about I just sing it? Because you're not gonna know if I have my pants down or not. But on the way to Wheelie's house, Wheelie went kaboom, and you never know to when he will blow. Wheelie go boom. So if you're going to Wheelie's house, you better get there soon, because you never know to when he will blow. Wheelie go boom. Thank you.
On the way to Willie's house, Willie went kaboom.
You never know just when I will blow.
Willie go boom.
It's Willie go boom. The game where you spin the spinner and pump Willie up. Make Willie go boom three times and you win.
So if you're going to Willie's house, you better get the soon. Cause you never know when Willie will blow. Willie go boom.
Cause you'll never know just when I will blow.
Willie go boom.
While we were listening to that clip, we wanted to also get some context. So on our own, we looked at the commercial for What It May Be Worth was from 1994. So that all checks off. And it's a game for children that required you to pump a toy
three times for Willie to go boom.
Yeah.
That's a commercial that should be on Big Mouth.
Yeah. Keep pumping. And maybe Willie will go boom. I don't know. It's
But the question is, will you have your pants down?
I mean, you don't know, do you, really?
That's a game you can only play with your pants down.
Oh. Well, that's also not true. It depends on what age you are.
Again, I just think that there was this time in our childhood where so much stuff snuck under the radar.
Oh, my God.
And
an unbelievable amount.
Yeah. I mean, I have a set where I talk about another board game from our childhood that was totally messed up because it had all these connotations. Not as much as that. That was pretty ridiculous. But this one is like totally a weird, different connotation. You ever play the game Don't Wake Daddy?
Oh yeah. I know about that one, yeah.
Think about it. Don't Wake Daddy. Premise of the game, for those of you who don't know, you sneak through your father's bedroom. He's in the middle on the game board, asleep in his bed. You sneak across the game board to get to his nightstand and steal money, right? Like, that's the concept of the game. You steal money off your dad's nightstand while he's sleeping. You don't want to place the pieces too much or he'll wake up. And if he wakes up, game over, right? Don't wake daddy. That's not game over. Games, all games.
But here's my question. How do you wake him up? Like,
I think you put the piece down too hard.
Oh.
And it shakes the board, and he pops up.
So it's kind of like an operation.
Sort of. And he looked just like the operation guy, too.
Yeah, he did.
The dad looked just like the operation guy.
So what I'm saying is the
connotation is...
It was a sequel. It was after daddy came home from the hospital.
Yes. Well, I'm just saying that the connotation is that he wakes up, right? Game over. What does he do when he wakes up? What do you think?
puts them to bed, so they have to start over.
No, Daddy beats the crap out of you. Daddy just beats you senseless across the whole game board.
Oh my god, wow.
Dude, like, it's the only game with a connotation. I can't think of another one that it's just inferring that you get beat by your dad. I don't know. They don't say what happens. You don't know what happens. All you know is Dad wakes up and it's something you don't want to happen.
I mean, there are probably other games where the consequences are just as dire, if not more tumultuous, like Risk. You know, your whole country burns to embers.
Yeah, they don't talk about all of, like, the raping and pillaging that happens in Risk.
I don't?
I just feel like you're like, hey, I conquered your country. They don't go into the nitty-gritty.
My friend was telling me that Risk is banned in their house from here on in because it was too emotional. I believe it.
I like Risk. I like all the theme crappy board games, like Star Wars Risk, and you gotta conquer the galaxy, or, you know, Lord of the Rings Risk, you gotta conquer Middle Earth. Yo, bam. I just came up with $1 million idea.
$1 million idea.
Game of Thrones Risk.
Game of Thrones Risk.
Dude, that is legitimately.
You heard it here. That is
giving it away. Why are you giving it away?
It's like The Simpsons Monopoly.
That is the illest.
Game of Thrones Risk.
It's the illest. It's so perfect, too, because it's like the premise of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Is the takeover.
We got to get out of here. Don't forget, if you have any clips of your own that you want to contribute to our program, Lost and Rewound at RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. is where you go to. We're online on all sorts of different platforms, be it SoundCloud, iTunes, and our main site for our Radio Free Brooklyn Fair you can find at Podomatic, lostandrewound.podomatic.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to our non-existent guest.
Yeah. It's so nice they were so silent for the entire time.
I know.
Yes.
So sweet, beautiful, but also sexual.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks for listening. Right here on Lost Rewound.
Radio Free occurs to me. No, that's not true.
Dude, is that a Kennedy impression?
It occurs to me.
That was pretty good.
It occurs to me.
I can't do it, but you got it. No.
It's a stock. It's no stock of an impression then.
I'm doing it again.
Joshua does a really good John Stewart impression, even though he only said one phrase. It's like, I'm a comedian.
Dude, that's the best when you...
I'm a comedian.
When you do an impression, but it's limited to literally like a single
one sentence.
I have a couple that I do like that. People are like, keep it going. Just like, that's all I got.
All right.
I'll do it right now. Reggie! Like, that's all I got. I got to be...
What do you got before we really begin it?
I don't know if I have anything.
I don't have any impressions? Come on.
I mean, you're putting me on the spot. Let me think about it.
Okay. Come back to it.
Come up with some other cartoon dog, and then we'll talk.
That's not.
I'm ready.
Can you do Droopy?
I can. Can I what?
Droopy.
No, Droopy dog.
I hate Monday.
It's a Garfield.
Yeah, it is.